Right now, we continue to talk with the people in Israel. This is a special season. Yesterday and the evening, on Friday evening, began the Passover. And then from Passover, the Jewish people will move into the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. I want you to know we are pre-recording this conversation with Yoel Karen. He is a rabbi. He's a good friend. He's a broadcast partner with us. And we would not be able to record this, of course, during the first day of Passover, which happens to coincide with the Sabbath as well. But, Rabbi, let's just think ahead, if you will, with me. We record this. You're going to, on Friday evening, have the Passover Seder. What are you doing with you and your family preparing for the Passover Seder?
Well, I'm beat and tired right now. as you know, there's a lot of cleaning that goes on.
Yes.
A lot of cleaning, making sure that the leaven is totally out of the house. We have it all confined to one box right now. All the leaven that's left in this house is confined to one box. Tomorrow morning, I'll get up early in the morning after my prayers, and I will go out and burn it. And destroy it.
Hey, you know, I've got to say, for those eavesdropping on the conversation, you and your family and all the Jewish people that do this type of thing before Passover, you brought spring cleaning, that concept, into existence. So the ladies listening may be a bit upset with the fact that they have to do that spring cleaning just because you guys started it many years ago. But that is very important as you move into the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. You are not allowed to even have the utensils that you cook with that have any type of a hint of leaven on it, are you?
That's right. That's right. Everything, you have to make a total separation. And again, we know that this is to teach us about to separate the leaven that's in our hearts out of our lives. So this is all of these things were there to teach us a lesson. So tomorrow, after I go and I burn the leaven that I have left over, anything that's leaven, after I burn that, I will actually begin baking the unleavened bread. My family, everybody pitches in, and we'll all start baking it. I'll bake a few pounds of it tomorrow to take us through the first night of Passover and the Sabbath.
Now, what do you do? What's the process there?
It's just a very simple mixture of flour and water. That's all there is to it. It's a special flour that's watched from the time it's cut. From the time the wheat is cut, it's watched to make sure that it never comes into contact with water. Because once it comes into contact with water, the water, the gluten, the yeast all react, and they begin to ferment and create leavening. So this stuff is watched from the time the grain is cut, that it doesn't come into contact with water. And we take the flour, it's ground, then we take the flour, mix it with water. I will make the initial big ball of dough, and then at that time I'll turn it over to my son, and he constantly is kneading it. And then I've got the fire going to bake the matzot, the unleavened bread, and my wife will start rolling them out into flat, thin cakes, I guess you could call it, like a tortilla, really.
Uh-huh.
And then my daughter will poke holes in them, and that's mainly there to keep them from blowing up, so they'll stay nice and flat while you're baking them. And the holes let us know that it's not a tortilla, that it's something different.
Uh-huh.
It serves to let us know that this is a different kind of bread. And they bake very, very quickly. And, you know, we use the traditional matzah, the traditional ancient form of the matzah, where it's actually soft, like a tortilla or a pita or something like that.
Uh-huh.
We don't bake it until it's hard.
That is so neat, a family operation in preparing the unleavened bread. Now, as I understand the scriptures, you need three ingredients for the Passover Seder. You need the unleavened bread, which we've been talking about, a piece of lamb, and some bitter herbs. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. The bitter herbs, most people use romaine lettuce, something like that. All evidence points to that this was a form of lettuce. But the problem is that most people do use the lettuce, but all the bitterness has been bred out of modern lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
So we do happen to have a very ancient form of bitter lettuce that grows here in Israel. And I spent about an hour out picking it today. And so I got it ready. It's in the fridge. And we have real bitter herbs here this year. And I've got some lamb chops I'm going to grill up. And we have two pieces of meat that will actually be on the table. One is a memorial of the Passover sacrifice, which, barring a miracle between now and tomorrow, we won't be bringing. And the other piece of meat is a memorial of the actual holiday offering that was brought, in addition to the everyone's personal Passover sacrifice.
Wow.
So then you've got your bitter herbs, you've got a mixture of dates and nuts and things that looks like it's thick like mortar.
Yeah.
And you dip the bitter herbs in that and the matzah in that, and it's to remind us of the mortar and the bricks.
Now, what's that called?
It's called haroset.
Oh, I'd love haroset. You take a warm piece of unleavened bread and put haroset on it, make you want to slap your grandmother. It's so good. That is good eating. Well, this is neat to be able to see how you and your family are going to prepare for the Passover Seder, have the Passover Seder, and then move into the eight-day holiday. Let me ask you one more question, and this is somewhat serious as I understand it. Israel Ariel, who heads up the Temple Institute, has called for a return of the sacrificial system, especially here at Passover, and it to be done on the Temple Mount. Now, that was turned down by the Israeli government, I understand. Do you think it's possible in the near future you'll be able to go onto the Temple Mount and offer sacrifices?
I think it's very possible. You know, like I always say, stranger things have happened. Things can change in the blink of an eye. And they usually, when things happen in the history of the Jewish people, in the history of Israel, they do happen overnight. It happens very quickly, sooner than anyone thought it would. And, you know, he's right. And I noticed there were probably 10 times as many people at the demonstration that he did to show people how to slaughter the Passover lamb. And look, the bottom line is, as much as goes into this preparation and as much as I enjoy the evening and my soft matzah and everything, this is really a sham. It's ridiculous.
No.
It's a pale shadow of what it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be sacrificing those lambs. We're supposed to be putting that blood on the altar. We're supposed to be eating a sacrifice. We're not supposed to be sitting here, you know, playing pretend and just remembering how things were back in the day. This is our cry, is to renew our days as days of old.
Wow. Renew our days as the days of old. Well, I wanted to have this opportunity before the Passover actually started. So again, I'm telling you, we pre-recorded this interview with Rabbi Yoel Karen, but it's been a wonderful experience to be able to hear how you and your family are preparing and your heart as it relates to what the Lord is going to return to the Jewish people. And you're hoping sooner rather than later, right?
Absolutely. And you still have an open invitation to come to me one of these days.
I'm going to do that. I want to sit there with you and your family and watch all this happening and then participate in the eating of the Passover. I look forward to doing that. Rabbi, Chag Sameach to you and your family, and we'll talk again after the holidays.
Chag Sameach. God bless.